I have two readings for you this morning. The first one is a really brief, just two verses. But I want you to particularly pay attention, and it will come back and be important as I get my message for today, to pay particular attention to what Jesus seemed to understand his relationship to God to be. The saying, separate, just listen to what it says and follow along that train of thought. And it comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, and it's just verse 17 and 18. And I'm reading from the updated version of the New Revised Standard. Hear now these words. As he was setting out, that's Jesus, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." And the second reading is from one of my favorite theologians. I think it's someone that most of you are familiar with. It's Bart Ehrman. And this comes from his book, How Jesus Became God, The Exaltation of a Jewish Preacher from Galilee. And this is what he has to say. This is one of the hardest and fast ironies of the Christian tradition. Views that were at one time a majority opinion, or at least they were widely seen as completely acceptable, eventually came to be left behind. And as theology moved forward to become increasingly nuanced and sophisticated, these earlier majority opinions came to be condemned as heresies. I'm going to leave the readings there. There'll be more explanation to come.
Each of us sighs are never mutual. The part we play, the way we are, how each of us denies any other way in the world. Why each of us must choose, I never understood. One special friend, one true love, why each of us must love everyone else in the world. However unsure, however unwise, day after day, play out our lives, however confused, pretending to know to the end. But this isn't truth, this isn't right, this isn't love, this isn't life, this isn't dream, this is mine. Believes I've never really known in heaven unseen, in how each of us seems to understand anything at all. Why each of us decides, I've never been sure, the parts we take, the way we are. Why each of us denies every other way in the world. However unsure, however unwise, day after day, lay out our lives, however confused, pretending to know the end. But this isn't truth, this isn't right, this isn't love, this isn't life, this isn't this is a lie. This isn't truth. This isn't right. This isn't love. This isn't a lie. This isn't real. This is a lie. The Cure.
So, a couple of weeks ago, in my message about embracing your inner heretic, I mentioned a blog series that I wrote entitled, This Collar is Too Tight, Heresies from a Southern Minister. Today, I'd like to share an expanded version of one of those articles with you. The article was entitled, this might explain some of the music and the readings today, Jesus is not my God. Now, I imagine for most folks here, that is not going to be shocking or even difficult to hear or even personally believe. But understand, for others, it's going to be a bit challenging. Some, because they've never really thought about it one way or the other, and others, because they are going to be certain that I am wrong. And I have to say, I kind of like it. I like that our spiritual community makes room for and accepts folks with varying perspectives and is basically happy to think outside of the box from time to time. It tells me not only how seriously we all take our spiritual journeys, but how seriously we take each other. My message today is entitled, Jesus is not my God. It is a long-standing Christian belief that in Jesus, God became human. Fully human, fully divine. Honestly, I've never been able to figure out the math on that one. Thank you, fully both. For that matter, it would seem that few have ever actually understood that math. We actually explain the belief by saying that it is simply one of the mysteries of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but at least for me, telling me that I should believe something that seems mysterious exactly because it's mysterious just isn't going to completely cut it. Unfortunately, for me, and for others who are members of the mainline Protestant denominations, it's required of us to believe it. In my opinion, most institutionalized churches define who is in and who is out of Christianity in a far too narrow way. As a matter of fact, there is an increasingly long list of tenets to which a person must dogmatically adhere in order to be, you know, in the club. The thing is, As a Christian minister, I don't believe quite a few of those tenets. I even find many of them to be biblically inaccurate. I've also discovered that there are a lot of people who feel the same way I do, even a lot of other ministers. Now, this is particularly true of the belief that Jesus is God. We're going to break that down quite a bit. In part, that's because there was a time when Jesus was a God. Or at least a time when he didn't see himself as God, and nor did many of his followers. And do not get me wrong. I am a believer. Most people. I believe there is probably a God, something bigger than us. And I truly have a very hard time believing there's not something larger than humanity. I mean, seriously, I just find it hard that we are the best thing that the universe has to offer. Seems a bit egotistical to me, not to mention a little unfortunate for the universe. Ultimately, I just don't buy that argument. I believe there is probably a God. I believe there might be a God, or at the very least, I frequently also feel the absence of that God. Even King David was ascribed to have felt the absence of God. It's all over the Psalms. I really personally don't even feel bad about doubting at all. It just feels like it's normal to do that from time to time. That's why, as I've mentioned before, I consider myself an agnostic Christian. I believe that there is a God. I also accept that there might not be. Thus, one of my favorite Bible verses is, "I believe. Help me in my disbelief." When I think about and study about God, I think about and study about that God who is all at once bigger than me and might not be. It is the same God, I believe, that Jesus was trying to teach us about. See, in calling God Father, Jesus tried to teach us about the nurturing nature of this God, in saying that he and the Father were one, he was trying to teach us about how we are all one in this God thing that is larger than us. And telling us that in loving other people, all other people, we are loving God, he was trying to teach us about the connectedness we all have because of this thing that we call God. I am a Christian because Jesus, for me, is the teacher who best helps me understand this God thing. When he worshiped that same God. He didn't worship himself. He even told his disciples not to worship him. As a matter of fact, from my studies, I don't believe Jesus ever called himself God. Read through Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You won't find him saying it. Sure, there are a few places where you can interpret what Jesus said to possibly suggest he is God, but as I just pointed out earlier, in most of those cases, like in calling out God, say that the Father and I are one, most of those places, he isn't saying his oneness with God is unique to him. If anything, he's suggesting that it is part of all of us. It connects us, and it should inspire us to love one another. One thing is for certain. In the first three books of the New Testament, Jesus definitely does not say in any straightforward way that he is God. And then in the books that follow, the ones accredited mostly to Paul, the books written closest to Jesus' death, we also don't have a recording of Jesus saying he was God. Yet, you have to ask yourself something that important, being the same as God, being God. Don't you think he might have mentioned it? And if he did mention it, don't you think someone would have taken the time to jot it down? I don't know about you, but I certainly believe so. Now, while the Gospel of John does show Jesus understanding himself as separate from God, it also has him mentioning the whole being God thing. It does. Quite a bit, actually, in comparison to the whole rest of the New Testament. That difference is a bit striking, isn't it? In the one, but not in all the others. The first three Gospels and all the books of Paul, all written before the Gospel of John. Written before the Gospel of John. Without Jesus saying he's God. And then John, after many years have passed, as Jesus saying he's God. Does anyone else think it sounds like maybe some dogma slipped in there in those in-between years? Actually, yeah, they do. Most modern scholars agree that John has some new theological perspectives added to the accounting of the life of Jesus that weren't in any of the other New Testament books. Those scholars may or may not be right, but particularly because of the other three Gospels, I am going with the idea that the theological position that Jesus thought of himself as God was probably a late addition to the early followers' understanding of who Jesus was. As professor of religious studies at the University of North Carolina, Mark Berman points out in his book, How Jesus Became God, that I just read a quote from, during those times, Greek and Roman influences led people to believe that indeed, in fact, gods do become human, but only temporarily. And humans do become gods, most typically permanently, but only after they've served their role in life, they've led their life, and they lead and have finished their life. At that point, they are adopted into the divine realm. But only at that point, after they've led a full life. See, to our modern minds, particularly to our dualistically thinking Western minds, this can sometimes be difficult to wrap our heads around. Kind of like when I opened up, say, the map of fully human, fully divine has never really added up for me. What we have to remember is that the people from Jesus' times, and honestly, even stretching it back well before him, weren't stuck in our dualistic mindsets of human versus divine, either or. For them, there simply wasn't much separation between the two. In fact, they frequently overlapped. But as I pointed out, Ehrman tells us that this overlapping of human and divine typically happened in one or two ways. I'm going to repeat this. A God becomes human, which is always temporary, or a human becomes God, which is almost always permanent. So given that the majority of Christian theology, that in it Jesus is not understood as having been only temporarily a God, like when a God becomes human, we're kind of left to consider that he was, at some point in his life, elevated to the status of God. And with that in mind, it seems entirely likely, when you add those things together, that this was the actual scenario. And many scholars believe this as well. Jesus was born human. Went through life and experienced life as a human. And in the course of that time, he was understood to have done some miraculous things. That's for others in his time. Then, much like the people then did with some kings, upon his death, they deified Jesus. In this case, it was upon his death and the belief in his resurrection that his followers began slowly elevating him to the level of God. I thought I could repeat that nice buzz. Power. The reality is that most likely, the early Christians who did think of Jesus as God thought of him as a human who became God, just the way they understood life. We were never both at the same time, unless it was temporary. It certainly wasn't temporary with Jesus. Most of them would point to what they understood to be Jesus' resurrection as the moment that Jesus moved from being human to being divine. Which is quite odd if you pause to think about it. As I suggested earlier, the majority of Christian theology today insists that we believe that Jesus was both fully human and fully God for his entire life. How did we start at one understanding that he was elevated at his resurrection to become divine, and then end up with Jesus was always divine as well as always human? Well, those of you who spend any time studying the history of the Bible and the history of Christian doctrine will not be surprised to find out that the answer to that question ties back to the conversion of Constantine and the Council of Nicaea in 325 CE. As a matter of fact, the formation of the council, the first of its kind, and in its attempt to address theological outlooks for the whole of Christianity, it's the first time that had happened. The formation of that council, it actually happened precisely because of the question of the divinity of Jesus. It's the whole reason we have the council. Constantine, when it came to the question of the divinity of Jesus, he actually found the question to be extremely trivial in his spiritual life. He didn't really care what the answer was. But he did see Christianity as a way to kind of unite this fragmented kingdom. So, he believed arriving at a definitive answer of the question of the divinity of Jesus was, well, in his own best personal interests. And ultimately, the Council of Nicaea presented a creed that was to be binding for all of Christianity, which said Jesus is and always was part of God, of the same substance. So Jesus was, according to them, fully human, fully God. The vote, as a matter of fact, was 298 in favor of that creed, and only 20 against it. Sort of. Like I said, Constantine wanted the answer to be a united answer to the issue. So, he ended up forcing 17 of those 20 to sign the creed anyway, and banned the other three. Guess it really is good to be the king. So when you roll all of this information together, it leaves me with the conclusion that in spite of the teachings of the Christian church since the Council of Nicaea, during his life and teachings, Jesus was not God, nor did he believe himself to be. And you know, for me, Jesus not being God is a really, really good thing. If what we hope to get from the life and teachings of Jesus is to learn how to love one another and how to develop a closer relationship and understanding of God through it, and for me that is the answer, what we are to be doing. Well, if that is it, then it is much, much more helpful to see a person who is actually a human doing it than a God doing it. It's even hopeful. Do I believe that Jesus had a unique relationship with God? It is hard for me to read the Gospels and think anything other than that. I don't need him to be God to believe that. I am also completely comfortable with the folks who believe, much like the earliest Christians did, that after his death, Jesus was elevated to the status of God. In the end, though, you know, I'm really not trying to say that I am right and other folks who don't agree with me are wrong. I am saying that given the long history of this issue and the record that we have in the New Testament, not to mention the teachings of Jesus himself, Christianity should be big enough for a variety of thoughts here. I guess I'm also saying God can handle our questions. Maybe, we should step out on faith enough and allow for the same thing. Thank you.
an actor on a stage, playing the role I have to play. I'm getting tired, it's safe to say. Living behind a masquerade. No more performing out of fear. Trying to keep my conscience clean. It all seems so insincere. I traded all to meet you here. I'm losing my religion. I'm losing my religion. Light a match and watch it burn. Into your heart I will return. No one can love me like you do. Oh, no. So I will never want to substitute. I'm a losing my
setting religion aside to find God. I think a few of us may know that feeling. I want to share with you a prayer from my prayer book. Again, receive it as a prayer, as a meditation, or just breathe in and out, and if a word really connects with you, take hold of it and let it be what it needs to be. This one is number 4, On Blind Faith. Easy is good, or so we've been taught. We recognize that at times we've even come to like an easy faith, a blind, thoughtless faith. We like to believe what we believe because we believe it. It's easy, which feels good. There is a certain blessed assurance that it seems to carry until we see the hate and discrimination and division and violence that kind of faith can bring. We hold up to the light of Jesus' teachings that kind of faith, when held up to the light of Jesus' teachings, that kind of faith rings false and shallow. The emperor's clothes of Christendom, I have said. We long for a faith which matches the depths of our love. It may be that our very real and very deep love is the exact reason we so readily cling to a faith that feels equally deep, even when it is blind. May we learn to be investigators of our faith. May we be challenged to grow deeper in relationship, deeper in faith, through an inquisitive faith, through knowledge, and through a more informed understanding. May we celebrate those who ask questions, who come at thoughts on faith from new perspectives, as they challenge us to grow even closer to each other and to creating a more loving world for all people. Amen. See this blessing, may you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may you share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.